Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
You know, in the study of science, the science of electromagnetism, it has come to be understood that like charges repel each other, unlike charges attract each other. We learned that in school. And though that might be true of an electromagnetic field, it is not true of us, though some people seem to think it is. On the surface, people who have opposite beliefs may appear to attract each other for a time. But you know, they're like oil and vinegar. It's like shaking up a bottle of oil and vinegar. They may look like they're one, but just wait a while. The oil will sink to the bottom, the vinegar will rise to the top. And that's the way it is with us. Our relationship with Jesus Christ, only a relationship with Him can truly make us one. To have a real relationship, to have a lasting relationship, we must be rooted and grounded in Christ. The Apostle Peter recognized that truth when he began his second letter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, he said to those people that they had received the privilege of a precious faith. A faith, he said, that was the same kind of faith as ours. A faith given through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it, isn't it? That's the basis of our relationship together. The only basis that will endure, our like, precious faith. That's what attracts us to each other. That's why we stay together. It's because of Christ. We're all different. We come from different cultures, different backgrounds. We have different occupations, different personalities. But it is our love for Christ. It's our desire to follow Him that overshadows all of those differences. And as Paul is about to conclude his letter to the church in Colossae, and is about to send the letter to them, he gives them and he gives us a picture of some people, of some men, from all different walks of life, from different lifestyles, who had come together, why? Because of Christ. They had come together to serve the Lord. So Paul lets the believers in Colossae know who's on board, who's staying the course, who has the same like precious faith in Christ, who is one with Him. So in verse 7 of chapter 4, he says this. As you know, I'm being held by the Roman government for bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to both Jew and Gentile. And so you know I can't see you face to face. But I know that you long to hear news concerning me. I know that you desire to hear of all my affairs, takata emepanta, of all the things that are going on in my life, my situation here. I know you're concerned about me. So I have entrusted Tychicus. I've entrusted him with the task of making that long and difficult and dangerous journey to you. Acts 20, verse 4, we're told that Tychicus came from the town of Thessalonica. And he was with Paul when Paul was on his way to Jerusalem to deliver financial aid to the poor in the church there. And all along the way, every place they went, Paul was warned that trouble, that persecution, that prison awaited him in Jerusalem. But Tychicus stayed with Paul. And now, 4 years later, after Paul had been arrested, after two imprisonments in Caesarea and in Rome, after a plot to kill him, after a shipwreck in a violent storm, who's still there? Tychicus. No wonder Paul calls him in verse 7, our beloved brother in Christ, Agapetos. Someone who was special. Someone who was dear to Paul. Someone who had proven his willingness to serve the Lord no matter what the cost. He is, Paul says, a faithful, a pistos, a reliable, a trustworthy servant, a diakonos, a minister of Christ. Someone who's solid in his faith. Someone Paul could count on to be there. Someone who'd get the job done. A few years later, when Paul wanted Titus to come visit him, to temporarily leave his work of leading the church in Crete, we're told in Titus 3:12 that Paul considered Tychicus for the job. The end of his life, just before he was about to be executed, Paul wanted Timothy to come see him. See him for one last time. So in 2 Timothy 4:12, we are told that Paul sent Tychicus to Ephesus to assume Timothy's responsibilities. Tychicus was a faithful man, wasn't he? He was willing to do whatever was necessary in order to further the work of the Lord. And not only was he willing, he was available. He was there. His life belonged to Christ. Paul and Tychicus were one, weren't they? One in their purpose, one in their love for the Lord, one in their desire to serve him. Paul tells us in verse 7, he is a fellow bondslave in the Lord, a sundulos. We both serve Christ. We both belong to him. We are his slaves. They both lived for the Lord. That's what bound them together. Their love for Christ. So Paul says, though I will miss our fellowship, I will send Tychicus to you with this letter. And not only with this letter, we're told in Ephesians chapter 6 verses 21 and 22 that he carried a letter to them as well, to the Ephesians, a letter that was to be circulated around the churches in Asia Minor. Who knew, right? Certainly not Tychicus. He didn't know that the letters that he was carrying were to be a part of the Bible. That they were actually the inspired word of God that we would be reading today? Think about that. We don't know what God will do. We don't know how he will choose to use those who are faithful to him. We don't know what the results will be for eternity. But not only was Tychicus to deliver these letters, that would have been enough, right? But he had another assignment, verse 7. He says, he will bring you information. Gorizo, in Greek. He's going to make you aware of what's going on here. I want you to be able to understand. I want you to know the facts. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know for certain about our circumstances, Perry, about the conditions here, about our experiences. I want him to fill you in concerning what the Lord is doing here. The Lord has this under control. So I want him to help you. He says, I want him to encourage you, parakaleo. I want him to come alongside of you so that your spirit and your mind are comforted. The Lord has this situation. I want him to assure you of that. Just like Paul. Tychicus was a man with a shepherd's heart, with a heart of compassion. So Paul says, I'm going to send him to you. But along with him, I'm sending someone else, verse 9. I'm sending someone from your hometown. Someone that you may have thought that you would never see again. I'm sending that runaway slave, Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave of a man in the church in Colossae, a man by the name of Philemon. And the church in that town met in his home. But Onesimus had apparently stolen something from his master. He was a thief. And then he ran away. Perhaps to escape punishment, maybe just to obtain his freedom. And like many runaway slaves in that culture, he ran to Rome to disappear in the crowds of 2 million inhabitants of that city. He was a fugitive. And in that culture, if a runaway slave was caught, he would be executed. But by the grace of God, something truly amazing happened. Out of 2 million people in that city, somehow, he met Paul. And Onesimus gave his life to Christ. He wasn't the same man that he was when he left Colossae. His life was transformed. He was a new creation in Christ. So whatever he was before, Paul says, now, verse 9, he is our faithful, our reliable, our dear, beloved brother in Christ. He is now one of your number. He's part of the body of Christ, part of the church. So, consider it a privilege to forgive him, just as Christ has forgiven you. And embrace him as a brother in the Lord. Onesimus is a testimony of how Christ transforms our lives. In Christ, our past does not need to equal our present. Like Onesimus, Christ can use us despite our past. And our past certainly does not equal our future. We have a future. Our future grows brighter and brighter with every day all the way into eternity. So Paul says, I have sent these men to you to represent me. They will inform you, he says in verse 9, provide the information about the whole situation in here, plus about everything. They're going to tell you everything that's going on. But I do have other men who are here, other faithful men who remain with me. Aristarchus is here, verse 10. He is my fellow prisoner, my sunagmalotos. He is one captured by the spear, that's what the word means, like a prisoner of war. He sends you his greetings. Aristarchus was from the city of Thessalonica. It says that in Acts 27, 2. And he was with Paul when Paul was in Ephesus, and a crowd began to riot in that city because of the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ by Paul. Because it was threatening to destroy their worship of their patron pagan goddess. And the result would be a decline in their economy. So they began to riot. And Acts 19:29 says the crowd seized who? Aristarchus. Because he was with Paul. 5 years later, he's still with Paul. He was a man of courage, wasn't he? A man who was willing to suffer. Suffered along with Paul. He was willing to give up his freedom for the sake of the gospel. Oh, Paul says there's someone else here. Remember Barnabas' cousin? Mark? He's here with me. John Mark was with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. And along the way, things got a little difficult. They got very difficult. They got dangerous. So in Acts 13:13, it says, Mark left. He abandoned them. He returned to Jerusalem. He just gave up. Gave up on them, gave up on the work of the Lord. So when it was time for Paul's second missionary journey, guess what? Paul wouldn't take Mark along with him. But you know, things have changed now. In fact, the Lord has changed Mark. It says in 1 Peter 5:13, Peter mentions Mark, and he calls him what? He says, he's my son, my spiritual son. So perhaps, under the discipleship of Peter, who was certainly no stranger to failure, he helped Mark. Maybe he told Mark how he had abandoned the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. How he had denied even knowing Jesus 3 times, and then he wasn't even there when Christ was crucified. Only to be forgiven and restored to service on a beach in Galilee. Perhaps Peter related these things to him, and John Mark took heart. Because now we find him in Rome with Paul. Philemon 24, Paul calls him a fellow worker. He's a fellow worker now. And at the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy 4:11, when Paul wants Timothy to come to see him, who does he want him to bring? He wants him to bring Mark. He says, now he's useful to me. It's amazing. From useless to useful. That's what Christ does. Our God is a God of second and third and fourth chances. You know, with Christ, our failures are not final. John Mark is an example of that. And remember this. It was John Mark who wrote the Gospel of Mark, a book in the Bible. Not many people get that opportunity to write a book in the Bible to be used by God like that. So take heart. Paul tells the people in Colossae about Mark. He says, remember, he's the one of whom you received instructions. And if not before, certainly now. And the instructions are these. Don't reject him. Don't reject him if he comes to you, but instead, verse 10 says, welcome him. Dekomai. Accept him. Forgive him. The way that Christ has forgiven you. Oh, and Paul says, there's another man here. His name is Jesus, a common name at that time. But they called him Justice, which means the righteous one. Apparently he was a man of integrity. He's here with me. And these three, Aristarchus, John Mark, and Justice, these are the only fellow workers, synergos, the only partners in the work of the Lord for the kingdom and the glory of God who are from the circumcision, who have a background, a Jewish background. There's only three of them here. But it's enough. Paul says it's enough. Because they have proved to be ginomai. They have risen to the challenge, risen to the task. And they are an encouragement to me. Paregoria in Greek, where we get our English word paregoric. A medicine that heals, a medicine for pain. Their presence has brought me spiritual healing, healing for my soul, Paul says. They have brought relief to me. Like them. Can that be said about us? As we seek to minister to people, do we bring relief? Do we bring refreshment? Do we bring encouragement to those that we seek to minister to? And Epaphras is also here, Paul says, verse 12. In fact, he came to Rome on your behalf. He's still here. Let me remind you that it is because of his love for you. Concerning the threat from those false teachers among you, that I am writing this letter to you at all. Epaphras is one of your number. He is a leader there. He's a leader in the church in Colossae. And like us, Paul says, he is a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He also sends you his greetings. And though he's absent from you, he's with you in spirit. His heart is with you. And so he is always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers. Agonizomai. He agonizes over you. He struggles as he lifts you up to the Lord and he pleads before the Lord. He pleads that you may stand, histemai, that you might stand firm for Christ and not be tossed around by the winds of doctrine and the false teaching, by the deceptive methods, the manipulation of men as they seek to make their lies look like the truth. He weeps over you. He weeps that you might be, he says, teleos, perfect, mature, that you might be fully developed in your walk with Christ and fully assured, plerophoreo, confident in Christ, confident in his word, confident that in all that you do, the will of God, your obedience to his desires for you might be the way that you live, because that is the only way you will become like Christ. I bear him witness, Paul says. I testify before God that he has a deep concern for you. Tonos in Greek. He's in pain for you. He has intense affliction in his heart for your spiritual well-being, and not only for you. He said not only for you, but for the towns near you, for Laodicea, for Hierapolis. He's single-minded in his devotion. He is a man of fervent prayer, and he's praying for you. We would have more leaders like that among us. Then there's Luke. Luke is here. Luke is always here. The beloved physician who joined Paul in Acts chapter 16 at Troas. Paul was on his second missionary journey. And you know, Luke remained with Paul for the most part for the rest of Paul's life. He's with him right until the end. Luke, ever faithful, a medical missionary to Paul, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, a dear friend, a co-laborer, a man who took and used his talent, his skill, his education, his entire life for Christ. to be used for the glory of the Lord. He sends you his greetings. And Demas. Demas is also here. Paul called Demas a fellow worker. He called him a co-laborer. Demas was committed to the work of the Lord. But something happened to Demas. He seemed like he was somebody you could count on. He was there. He was there with Paul for at least 2 years. But something happened to him. Maybe that's a warning. Maybe that's a warning for us. Because several years later, when Paul was imprisoned again, 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul wrote this, "Demas has deserted me. He has abandoned me in my hour of need." He's gone back to Thessalonica. Why? Paul says, because he loved this present world more than he loved his commitment to Christ, more than he loved his commitment to the work of the Lord. The world has pulled him away. He never saw the real opportunity, the opportunity that had eternal value. All he saw, all he valued, were the things of this world. That's a warning to us. But for the moment, he's still with Paul. So greet the brethren, Paul says. Greet the brothers and sisters in Christ. Those who are in Laodicea. And also Nympha. A woman. Some manuscripts say Nymphas. A man. Greet the church, the assembly of believers that's in that house. There were no church buildings till the third century. But what really is important here is this. Paul used this opportunity to encourage that person, to recognize their contribution to the work of the Lord. You know, we all need to be encouraged. And Paul encouraged that person. We have no idea how our encouragement will affect someone for the rest of their life. They might be on the edge of giving up. And our word becomes what keeps them going. Proverbs 25:11. We're told the right word, spoken at the right time, in the right way, is beautiful, we're told. It's precious. It is like apples of gold in settings of silver. What examples these men are to us. What an encouragement to us. How the Lord can use so many different people, so many different backgrounds, and make them one in Christ. So when this letter is read, Paul says, verse 16, when it is publicly read among you, have it copied so that it can also be sent to the church of the Laodiceans. And you in Colossae, for your part, read the letter, my letter that is coming to you from Laodicea. What letter is that? No one knows. Perhaps it's the letter that was written to the Ephesians that was to be circulated. And after all we've heard about these men, think about it. Shouldn't it be clear to us that the Lord expects us, that he commands us to fulfill what he has given us to do? So say to Archippus, Paul says, verse 17. Tell him to take heed. Blepe in Greek. Look carefully. Pay attention to the ministry. To the opportunity. That's what ministry is. Real ministry is an opportunity. Pay attention to what you have received from the Lord that you may fulfill it, plaru, that you may keep on fulfilling it, that you might be faithful to continue to fulfill it. Don't give up. Do what you know the Lord has given you to do. Remember, this is the Lord's work. And we will give an account of how faithfully we have served Him. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand, he says in verse 18. These are my words. But these are words that have been given to me to give to you from God. Remember my imprisonment. Remember my chains. Remember how I have suffered. I pray grace, blessing, God's blessing to be with you all who hear these words, that you might do them.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.